I want us to go back to that road to Emmaus, that road of sorrow, sadness, and disappointment, and join up with two of our Lord's disciples. These two disciples of our Lord had left Jerusalem and no doubt was headed home. Jesus approached and asked why they were so sad. So they explained. They explained what happened over the last 2 or 3 days, which resulted in their sad face. They told them about Jesus and how that the chief priests and the rulers had crucified him. They told Jesus, "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not." These two men walking down this road had hoped for great things, but God, they said, had disappointed them. When men draw up their plans and hope that in some way God will rubber stamp it, disappointment is often due to the trivility of human hopes. Their original plan had to be torn up, not because it was too big, but because in the eyes of God, it was too little. They had hoped for a Savior of Israel, but were not expecting a Savior of the Gentiles as well. They must have heard him say on many occasions that he would be crucified and raised again, but they could not fit catastrophe into the idea of a master. They could believe him as a teacher, as a political messiah, as an ethical reformer, or as a savior of the country, a deliverer from the Romans, but they could not believe in the foolishness of the cross, nor did they have the faith of the thief hanging on the cross. They refused to regard the evidence which the women had told them. They were not even sure that the women had seen angels. Furthermore, it was the third day which had come and gone, and he had not been seen. But all the while they were walking and talking with him. With these disciples, as well as all the apostles, there was no predisposition to accept the resurrection. The evidence for it had to make its way against doubt. They were among the last people in the world to credit such a story. One might almost say that they were resolved to be miserable, refusing to inquire into the possibility of the truth of the story, resisting both of the evidence of the women and the confirmation of those who had gone to verify their story. The final word was, they had not seen the risen Lord. So what was our Lord's reply to these two men? He said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" They were accused of being foolish and slow of heart, because if they had ever sat down and examined what the prophets had said about the Messiah, that he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, they would have been confirmed in their belief. And now comes the key words of the journey. Jesus had said that he was the good shepherd, and that he would lay down his life for the redemption of many. Now in his glory, he proclaimed a law that in consequence of his suffering, men would be raised from a state of sin to fellowship with God. The cross was the condition of glory. The risen Lord spoke of the necessity that everything happened to him had been foretold. What seemed to them as an offense, a scandal, A defeat was actually a dark moment foreseen, planned, pre-announced even, though the cross seemed to them incompatible with his glory. To him, it was the appointed path to his glory. If they had known what the Scripture has said of the Messiah, they would have believed in the cross. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.